there, everyone. Welcome to Thornley Fan Radio. I'm going to call this one 2.1. It's been some time since we've done a Thornley Fan Radio podcast. My name is Jamie Hosking. Thank you for joining us. And we've got lots to talk about. The new album, the second album from Thornley, Tiny Pictures, has been out for a few months now. The band has been on a great string of festival shows across Canada with lots of great acts that we're going to talk about here in the next little while. Plus, we're going to have some, hopefully, some details on a great new contest that's being run on the Thornley Fans website, and we're going to get some details about that a little bit later. But first of all, I want to introduce and thank for joining us, Buck from the message boards. How's it going tonight, Buck?
It's going great. I'm great. Happy to be here.
Thanks. I'm really glad that you're able to join me here. Of course, we're no strangers. We, of course, have been chatting with each other on the message boards for a long time, and we got a chance to meet each other just recently. We're going to talk about that here in a sec.
Today's a big holiday up in Canada, right?
Today's our 4th of July. Yeah, today's our Canada Day.
Cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, definitely.
Had a good barbecue?
We had a great barbecue, actually. Thank you. Yeah, we went over to Molly's dad's place. He's got a nice deck out, you know, down by the beach, and got together with some friends, had some steak. I have a friend of mine who works for UPS, and one of his customers, all they do for a living is, all they do is their business is import and export various meats. So he got us some steak and some hot dogs and beer. It was very good. Let's play what many people are believing will be the next single from Tiny Pictures. This is Changes on Thornley Fan Radio.
So I've tried out all the big me ups, and I've sipped red wine from a Dixie cup, and I can't change. I can't change. And I need to see things I've seen in pictures that are hanging around the house like a mess in the kitchen. I can't change. I can't change. The list of things I've never done just keeps getting longer. Tired of trying to put it off until tomorrow. This can't stay the same.
Things I've
Wanted to talk about your trip to Toronto and the show that you saw. That certainly, if there's a fan thing there, that's a good fan story.
I had a great time. It was great to come up and see you and you guys, and to meet Barb and Bill and see Ash and Daryl and of course you, Jane. It was a great time. You treated me like a king. I love that part of it. The show was. What was awesome?
Well, maybe before we get into it, let's start from the very beginning. When did you first, you know, kind of gel the idea in your head that maybe I'll make the trip, make the trip? Because let's tell everybody, you know, generally where you live and where you had to drive. You live in New Jersey.
I live in Jersey, just a little east of New York, New York City. So it's about 8 hours. It wasn't that bad a drive.
Okay.
Took it through upstate New York. Had a nice. You know, morning, afternoon, and I figured a Toronto show, in my mind, a Toronto show would be a hometown show. Ian would really be throwing out all the guns. I figured it'd be a good, big, exciting crowd, you know, and I kind of was looking forward to that, and of course, meeting everybody from the board and stuff like that. Plus, I did meet other people besides. But that was the genesis of it, was just that, you know, this was my chance to see him. There's no U.S. deal in the works, or it's in the works now, but it wasn't then, so I wasn't going to get an opportunity to see him down here, and I wanted to see him in a showcase.
And I guess to your credit, unfortunately, some of the earlier shows were really last-minute announcements, surprise shows, shows that really didn't get a lot of advance notice, like the horseshoe shows.
Correct.
They had a surprise one the previous summer, that $5 show. Was that in the summer? I'm trying to remember now. Yeah, that was in the summertime, I think May. They announced that just a few days beforehand, and it was $5 to get in. It was a secret at first, and then it let out. Same with the Steam Whistle Brewery show. That was a surprise, too. You know, they started off naming themselves, what, they call themselves the Oaf, I think, at first.
Mm.
And I guess, were the birthday shows after the Phoenix show? I should know this, shouldn't I? But then they had the two birthday shows at the Horseshoe. That's what I'm talking about, the Horseshoe's anniversary. So I guess the show that you attended, the one at the Phoenix Concert Theater here in Toronto, was the first one that had some real advance notice in a long time, so you could plan a trip like that.
Correct. That's correct.
You're certainly an inspiration for some of the other fans on the board that, you know, sometimes you see their messages and they're hemming and hawing as to whether they're going to make the trip, whether they're going to, you know, do the drive. And you know, everybody has their own situation that's true, but... you know, that's, I think, the epitome of fandom right there when you get into a car and drive for those 8 hours. Because let's be clear about this. You drove 8 hours to get here. You drove overnight. You got to Toronto at around, what was it, 1 or 2 o'clock, I guess, in the afternoon?
2 o'clock in the afternoon, yeah.
Yeah, you crashed for a little bit. We had some dinner. We went to the show. We met up with all those people, Daryl, Ashley, Bill, Jody, Barb, all those folks.
Sure.
And, you know, had a great time at the show. We even had an old friend, Kat, came down from Ottawa. Big surprise there. And then you got in your car the next morning and drove back. You know, it was not a vacation. No sightseeing involved.
My wife and I were going to make it a weekend and do a whole thing, but she couldn't get off work and times are tight. So, you know, I said, look, I'm just going to do this. And she didn't have any problem with it. It was great. And I got a real nice chance to get up there and see him in a hometown show. I haven't done that since the RTH show, the Roy Thompson Hall show. And he didn't disappoint. I mean, the band was tight. They really played well. I personally was disappointed in only one aspect, and that was that the show wasn't as loose as the later shows. There was a lot of industry people there. There was a lot of his family was there. And he wasn't as, like the last 5 or 6 videos I've seen up on YouTube You know, the songs are stretching out. You know, they're playing in a loose club atmosphere. And I think Ian plays best like that, to me. You know?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. This was a show that drew out a lot of local celebrities, that sort of thing. And the shows beforehand, especially the horseshoe shows, were just kind of jam sessions. They were literally working at the Kinks and a lot of their songs and a lot of the performances and probably working out how they're playing with Patrick Benty Tavis has left and how he fits into the whole thing.
Yeah, I thought the new lineup, I mean, I think Patrick adds a ton of energy to the band, because it seems like he's genuinely excited to be there. He gets to play some of the solos. I mean, I even heard, what's the song? I can't think of it. One of the newer songs. He's playing the solo on it.
Yeah, that was a pleasant surprise.
You know, which is good. The other aspect of the live version of the new songs, okay, two things. Can we get into this yet?
Absolutely, yeah. That's okay. What we're here for, yeah.
I mean, the more commercial pop songs, you know, the ones that are hit worthy, okay, the fans react to right away. They love it. You know, it's, you know, I can see the audiences, you know, 20 somethings enjoying themselves and really getting into the pop music. But there's not much visual attached to it. You know, it's they're more simple. You know what I mean? So when, for me, when I see him start doing a solo and like noodling and whatnot, that's when I really get pumped and I really get psyched. So you sort of almost have two different audiences there sometimes. You know, they don't pay attention as much in the longer passages, at least at this showcase show. Maybe because it was like a big Toronto show and a lot of people went that aren't that familiar with his earlier work, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I tend to agree. It's probably kind of the thing that he may have to do as he's gearing up his set list and what they're going to do in larger venues with larger audiences. And unfortunately, that's the kind of more professional setup, more show as opposed to performance that they kind of have to stick to in order to maintain the quality, maybe. I'm not sure. There has to be maybe some consistency, so the band plays tighter and everybody gets a quality show. I'm not sure what the decision-making process would be to make those changes. I can only imagine.
It's market. It's two different audiences, you know. It's like the if you listen to the smuggled video out of the Oshawa Clinic, the guitar clinic that he did. I mean, that's Ian just like floating, I mean, just going, just free-forming all over the place over a funk beat, you know? And it just wails. It's awesome, you know? But you're not going to hear that at a big Thornley show because he's got to hit the hits, you know what I mean?
Yeah, he's got a much more varied audience. Definitely the fans are there, but you're right. There are people who are not familiar with his music who may be there even for free, or somebody took them to the show, and they're going to want to hear song, 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 song. The guitar clinics were great, especially for the fans, and unfortunately I did not make it to the Oshawa Clinic, and I'm kicking myself for that, but I did see the videos that you're talking about, or the video that you're talking about. And yeah, everyone in that audience, with the exception of maybe one or two people, diehard, hardcore fans, and they just, well, I would just drown in that sort of thing. I love that stuff when he just stands there and jams and gets into it, and you're hearing new stuff and just stuff he's coming up with off the top of his head. It's fantastic. The fans are going there to hear that. They're not really there to hear him pound out the songs that they could hear at any other show.
Correct. And I do see that those are two separate, like, fan bases. You know, and one is a radio-driven market, and the other one is sort of a, you know, guitar geek market. You know, and those two things, you know, we kind of tolerate each other, sort of, kind of, you know, that kind of thing. I saw Bill there, our buddy Bill that we had dinner with. He was there, and I've back and forth on Facebook. He was telling me he asked Ian some questions and busted his chops about some Michael Jackson stuff, some pretty funny stuff. But he said it was all in all, it was just a great up close and personal, look at Ian playing. You know?
Right, absolutely.
Well, a couple other things just about some of the songs.
Sure.
This Is Where My Heart Is blew my mind when I saw it live because it's so much more powerful than it is on the record. The record sort of just is sort of a very close to the chest. Kind of reading of the song, and it doesn't have that, like, just joy to it, you know. And live, you know, they just jam into it, and it's really fun to watch, you know.
Isn't that great how it's kind of come full circle? Because that's one of the conversations that's been taking place on the message board where it comes to certain songs like This Is Where My Heart Is and All Fall Down. They kind of like the looseness of the demos. We have that advantage, and I don't know that a lot of music fans who are, you know, diehard fans of any particular musician or particular singer have that advantage. Maybe they do. I'm not really that big a fan of anybody else besides Ian and his band, but we have the advantage of getting those demos on his MySpace page. And if you're kind of crafty, some of those people were able to rip them, download them, what have you, and share them with a lot of people. So I lived with those songs for a long, long time. And then you hear the more polished studio versions, and some people were saying, oh, I like the old demo versions better. They had this, they had that, and this tuning and this nuance and this lick, and they played it this way. And I like the demos better. The studio kind of cleaned it up way too much for me. And now you've got it coming around, of course, like a lot of musicians do. The live version adds extra character, extra flavor, extra seasoning all over it that that you can really appreciate as a treat. And really, the reason why anybody would go, a big reason why anybody would go to see a live concert.
Sure. I noticed also, I wish that he would break out This Might Be the End. I wish he would break out, what's the last track?
Another Memory. Which he claims is one of his favorite songs on the album. I've heard him, I think, interchange Another Memory and Might Be the End.
Yes.
The two moodiest songs on the album.
It would be a great showcase piece right in the middle, you know?
And he claims those are his favorites. All right, we've got one more piece of business before we wrap up this episode of Thornley Fan Radio, and that is a big announcement regarding our new contest at thornleyfans.com, Design a Thornley Concert Poster. This is open to everybody, whether you have artistic design skills or not. This is a poster that you can submit using anything at all, whether it be paint and brush, pen and paper, charcoal, pencils, Photoshop, whatever you'd like to use for this particular concert poster. The judges will be none other than Ian Thornley himself and the good folks at MerchMonkey.com. And here's the clincher, the prizes. The grand prize will be a meet and greet with Ian and the band, plus a signed autographed copy of Tiny Pictures. And last but not least, your poster will be used as an actual concert poster by MerchMonkey.com. For more details, visit ThornleyFans.com, and the information about this contest will be posted on the website very shortly. Well, Buck, I'm really, really happy that we were able to do this. And we were able to talk about some of the things that are going on in the Thornley camp and what we'd like to think is going to happen and what we, how we're enjoying the album so far. I'm very happy you're able to join us, and please do it again real soon.
I'd love to.
All right, awesome. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great day, and please tune in again. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, on the Apple iTunes Music Store, and you can also check us out on our own website. It's thornleyfanradio.podomatic.com, and also check out the band's website, thornleyband.com, and our gracious host over at thornleyfans.com. Thanks a lot for listening, and we'll catch you next time.